good night.
Hello, cocktail lovers. Welcome to Paris Cocktail Talk, the show brought to you by 52 Martini's Guide to Paris Cocktail Bars. I'm Forrest Collins, and I'm here to talk to you about cocktailing in the French capital and bring you other small batch spirits news from France and beyond. This month, we're going to take a look at French cider. We want to learn a little bit more about the new wave of interest and brands that we're seeing in France, how it differs from its Anglo counterparts, how a younger generation is starting to consume it. And so to learn this, we have invited Anne Bayou of Sassy Cider into the studio to chat with us. Hi, Anne. Welcome to the studio.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Can you please tell the listeners a little bit about you and what you do for Sassy?
Definitely. So I'm Annie. I work now for Sassy for 2 years. I've been always working on the spirits industry, spirits and wine, but mostly on spirits as a brand manager. And I've been part of the challenge to launch Sassy, the Sassy Cider, with the startup. So now I'm working for 2 years with them. So
great. I want to start with the basics. I mean, we'll talk specifically about Sassy, but can we first just maybe explain to listeners what makes a French cider as opposed to maybe what they might be used to either in the US or in the UK?
Yeah, and that's really important because there is actually like several differences, so it's important to explain that. We mostly call it cidre and not cider, not just as a marketing fact, just to really explain why is different product, actually. Like when you used to have it, like in England, you used to drink it in a pint with a lot of ice, and it's really kind of pub product or stuff like that. In France, it's totally different. So there is a reason why. First, Sassy is coming from Normandy as well. So we got a different soil and our terroir, as we call it. It's kind of different. It's a loam and clay soil, which is providing different nutrition to the apples. And there is also a proximity with the forest, which gives a distinctive acidity to the fruit. So that makes the fruit a bit different also. We got a real savoir-faire at Sassy, coming from the Château de Sassy. So that's why it's called Sassy, actually. It's the name of the castle, the Château. And we are doing a 100% pure juice, which is very different from a lot of competitors, actually, which are using a concentrate of apples. That's really different. And the reason why we have to do that is because we are using very high trees, which are called pommier haute tige. As the name is saying, the trees are really high and providing fruits after minimum of 8 years. So meaning the fruits are really having a lot of aromas, of complexity, and usually the competitors are using the low trees, which are producing fruit around 2 or 3 years, so that's giving much more rentability, much more volumes, but the fruit doesn't have enough taste inside. So that's little tips like that, but the fact is like we are really working like wine as well, like producing, putting some stake on the roots, for instance, to avoid all the stress caused by the wind. So the trees are really well implemented into the soil. So being able to give all the nutrition and the aromas to the fruit. So the fruit is really full of aromas. And we press only 80% of our fruit. So meaning we don't press the heart of the fruit. So we avoid all the acidity and bitterness coming from the heart of the fruit. So okay. Basically, that's give us like really beautiful and premium fruits, I would say. So being able to give 100% natural and pure juice cider at the end. So we don't need to add any ice in it, for instance. So that's why we consume it in a different way as well in France.
Okay. So more of an artisanal product, I suppose.
No additives, no water added. No sugar added. So that makes it really different from the other ciders, actually.
Okay. Can we talk a little bit about the consumer, sort of the typical consumer? Because I think most listeners that aren't located in France are familiar with a lot of different French alcohols, with wine and with champagne and cognac, but maybe, you know, not as much with cider. So is that something that... predominantly, has it had a big market in Paris? Is it more an older generation? Historically, what's been the average consumer for cider here?
Yeah, cider is definitely part of our culture. We cannot say avoid like cider from the other spirits as cognac or anything. Cider is part, mostly call it cidre, is part of our culture, definitely. But there is a picture around this product, like showing only the consumption, like in Brittany or Normandy, mostly for old people, and just pairing it with some crepes, the pancakes, the French pancakes. So that sounds really weird in other countries, for sure. But that's the way we used to consume it. And on the key moments as the chandeleur, Candlemas,
I'm not sure actually what it's called, but it's a specific day.
A kind of pancake day.
Exactly, yeah, pancake day. That's it's annual pancake day in Paris, in France, sorry.
Exactly, and the Epiphany, so kind of religious as well a day. And so that's how we consume it today. But mostly we can find cider in off trade, in supermarket as well. But it's really changing at this moment, as we will see.
Yeah, well, I do want to talk to you a little bit about that, because I really do feel like we've seen, I don't know, over the past 5, 6, 7 years, a much younger face coming to cidre here in Paris, yeah. In France, maybe with some interesting brands emerging and seeing it coming into venues that are younger, that are attracting a younger crowd, cocktail bars and things like that. Can you talk to us a little bit about maybe what's causing this renewed interest from a younger generation in the product?
Yeah, definitely. There is a real trend around all the craft and traditional products to consume. The new generation is actually willing and asking for consuming less but better. That's for sure. And for different kind of products, not only alcohol drinks or not only cider or anything, but just in a general way as well. People are more and more caring about the product they use, the product they eat, the product they drink. It has to be natural, it has to be artisanal, and it has to be good, actually, like kind of premium. So we are willing to answer to this demand and to this request from the young generation to come. So that's why we were the first brand as well doing packaging, a new, refreshing and modern packaging, like transparent with the bottle in a 33 centiliters format. So really different from the kind of cider and seed that we can have in France, actually, to be able to give to this new generation a product they can picture themselves into it. So they can definitely use it in a different way, that not pairing it just only with crepes, but having it like an aperitif or with some friends to share it, to enjoy it, actually, like in the way they like and they love to enjoy the drinks.
Yeah, I agree. I like the packaging. It's young, it's fresh, it's new. It's not like the old cider bottles with kind of the old, you know, that you'll see at the grocery shop with the old couple in the paysage, in the countryside kind of thing. It's mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very fun.
Also, the new generation is does have like different tastes. Actually, the generation that the new generation is loving much more sweet tastes, like because of the soda consumption and so on. It's changing from the older generation, so they like to have new recipes, natural, really natural. It's really important, but sweeter or like different tastes. So we have to answer to this demand with some new taste, but which is still, I would say, healthy, like by giving really natural and good products in another way.
Right. Sassy's worked with some big names in the cocktail world here in Paris. I think you've worked with Sullivan Doe of the Syndicat, Maxime of the Bristol, mm-hmm. lots more I've seen on your website. Listeners, you can go and look at the Sassy website. There's a pretty impressive list of cocktails that have been developed in conjunction with bartenders. Also, Sassy's been working with some of the cocktail bars in London to develop some cocktails. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like, have cocktails been a good way to expose a younger generation to cider? Or is it the inverse? Is it that the cider is making it, exposing them more to cocktails? What's your take on that and the cocktail-cider marriage?
Okay, definitely. I will tell you the story about. Actually, bartenders are more and more recommended or are more and more viewed as a real chef. Bartenders are more and more chef. Like, it's kind of It's like an open kitchen, like you can watch the chef, the bartender, doing some cocktails, like just in a kitchen with some chef. And so that's really interesting to look at after that and to watch a bartender. And just as a big chef, a bartender is now caring about the product he will use. He will take only the best vodka or the best spirit, the best mixer to do the best cocktail and to be innovative and disruptive and to differentiate himself from a different competitor or a different bartender. So using a cider was not an easy idea like that. Like, why should I use cider? We just drink it in a pint with a lot of ice. It's not possible because it's really sweet usually. But thanks to Sassy and to a 100% natural cider, it becomes to be really beautiful mixer as well. As you take the best spirit to do your cocktail, you will take the best mixer as well. So that's why it's giving to the bartender a good opportunity to be innovative, but with a good product. And that's why as well we were like really proud to work with those people, because they are really good promoters as well for us, because showing to the consumer and to the people that are working with us is just simply proving that our product is really good to use in cocktail, and it's really good just like that as well, just to drink it like that. So that's why we're working with like the best cocktail bar, as you say, like Nightjar in London, or all the other bars you just quoted before. And it's also a way so to highlight our quality of our products. But it's also a way for us to multiply the way to consume the cider. Today, as you say, our goal is to multiply the way to consume the cider and to just change the consumption and the old tradition from cider to give a new use to the product and to the brand.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think also something you said earlier ties in nicely, and it's this less but better. So I think in terms of cocktails, it's been a pretty prevalent trend as well to look for things that are a little bit lower in alcohol. Mm-hmm. So you're not having everything that's such a big, stiff, hard drink that, you know, you're lightening things up, and it's more aperitif styles has been a big trend. So I think that fits nicely into that trend that we're seeing for quite a few years now.
Definitely. In London, just to correct it, in London, we've seen like more and more no low cocktails, meaning non-alcoholic cocktails or low ABV cocktails. That's really now part of the menu on the cocktails bars. And that's really something fitting with the trend of drinking less but better. And that's definitely good for Sassy as well, because we are definitely in the same line. And that's why we were the first cider brand as well promoting the GNP, for instance, which is a gin and pear instead of the gin and tonic. So that's really good, because it's actually giving you like a low ABV cocktail, but really refreshing. And people love already the fruit and the mixer. So that's really beautiful. Yeah.
That sounds nice. I'll have to try it. So you were talking about London. Let's talk about London a little bit. You, Sassy, has launched not that long ago in the UK. You were specifically over there working on the launch. So can you tell us a few things about that? First of all, how was it accepted in a place that's pretty used to cider, but used to drinking it in their own way and on their own terms? How did that go over?
How they received the product? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Actually, it's easy. It's not easy, but like people love Normandy. Like in England, they definitely love Normandy. And the fact that the Queen has been sleeping to the castle, to the Chateau de Sassy, is a really beautiful story for us as well.
Wait, tell me the story. I don't know the story. So yeah, tell the listeners.
It's not a story that we used to highlight or anything. It's just part of the family of the co-founder of Xavier, which is a part of the family owning the chateau. And so the Queen has been sleeping to the chateau to see the horses of the family.
Well, that's a very lovely story.
Few years ago.
Well, I think that would be something that's interesting to anybody, not just people in the UK. But so they've been pretty receptive then to Sassy specifically.
Yeah, and to the fact that it's, again, 100% natural. Like the trend is not only doing that in France, but also in England. Everyone, like it's part of a new generation worldwide. And that's why we are now worldwide as well, because people are more and more traveling and willing to find the product they love everywhere. So British generation is the same. Like in England, the new generation is willing to have the same, like drinking less but better and drinking no low ABV cocktail, as we just said.
For sure, yeah.
So it has been really, really well received, like French product, the same production as wine, actually. So really good quality as well. The story about the chateau as well is proving that we got a real savoir-faire around our production. And the fact that packaging is really different and mostly recognized as a beer as well, like for the new generation and a new consumption, and not just in a pub as a pint with a lot of ice.
Sure. And so you've launched in the UK. That's going well. Are you planning on expanding in other countries soon? What's the future for Sassy?
Yeah, definitely. Like France and UK tend to be the two main countries for Sassy, but we already are in 15 countries now, coming from Canada to Asia, through South Korea, or also in Europe, like in Belgium, in Germany, and Australia is really well working as well. Actually, it's really well going.
Yeah. Outside of France, do you have any particular markets that are bigger than others that are more, where it's more popular?
Yeah, actually, all the English countries are really big fan of cider. They're actually consuming more ciders than beers.
Really?
So in those countries, there is a real potential for us. And still, the fact that it's natural, it's giving us a real opportunity to give our product to the new generation. So in Australia, it's really booming and really well working. But also in a country like in Europe, like Belgium, which is drinking a lot of beers, as we know, Sassy is really well working, and cider as well.
Yeah. Well, also, I think cider is a little bit lower in calories, too, than beer, isn't it? So I think people who are being a little bit more health conscious that way might be leaning in that direction.
Yeah, and this direction, it could be lower because we got a rosé one, for instance, which is only 3% of alcohol in it. So that's really low ABV. But also because there is a gluten-free, a cider, a seed is gluten-free.
Yeah.
So for all the people who don't like beers or don't want to go as well to a wine, which is really stronger, what is your alternative to that? Basically, you don't have any alternative today. If you don't like beer and you don't want to go for something stronger as a wine, you have to take a cocktail or something like that. So cider is finally the best alternative about that.
And you just mentioned the rosé. Can you tell the listeners that there are three different, you've got three different Sassies. Can you tell the listeners what they are and what the difference is between them?
Yeah, we got like, they are all assemblage, actually, like blend, just like for wine. So that makes us a bit more complex as well in terms of recipes. So that makes it really different in recipes. And we got like a brut, which is our inimitable, the iconic, actually, which is 5.2 degrees, 5.2% of alcohol. So that's really the most classic one, but there is around 22 varieties of apples inside. So you can really understand why that's a really well-balanced recipe, easy to drink, refreshing, but really light and easy to drink. Then we got rosé, which is actually just for wine, which is a pink one, but that's really the most unique of the range, but also the most unique on the market. Because today, when you're asking for a rosé, a pink cider, you will always have like red fruit inside or sugar or colorant or anything added, like just to do it. And we are actually using some apple varieties, which are totally red inside, a red flesh inside. So that makes it just natural rosé cidre, which is really light and easy to drink with 3% of alcohol. And then we got the pear one, which is 2.5% of alcohol. So really light, really refreshing, really easy to drink. Really, really good instead of a Prosecco, for instance. We can really easily imagine it with some seafood and especially some oyster, because there is a slightly acidic end in the mouth. So that's really good. And we can really easily pair it, actually.
That sounds very good. And that leads right into the next thing I wanted to talk to you about a little bit, which is food pairings. We talked a little bit about cider. very common with crepes. Every time we do our Galette du Roi in January, which is sort of a king's cake for those who don't know, that happens at the beginning of the year here. And it kind of goes all throughout the month of January, I guess. People can celebrate with these cakes, but it's typically served with champagne or with cider. And but now I'm kind of curious, are there other sort of typical pairings that you can tell the listeners about between cider and food?
I wouldn't say it's typical. It's not part of the culture, but it's really, really easy to pair it, actually. That's why we work with all the most Michelin star chef, actually. And because we work with Alain Ducasse, with Anne-Sophie Pic, with a lot of different chefs, it's because they are really easily pairing our ciders with their different meals. So, and different dishes, like the pear one, as I just said, is really good paired with some seafood, with all the seafood or the oysters, especially. Mm-hmm. But the Brut, the iconic, is really well consumed with all the cheese or the meat during a barbecue or stuff like that. And the rosé is a little bit sweeter just in the taste. So really good pairing to be paired with desserts, for instance. And it's really easy to pair it. Yes, that's why we work with some chef.
Yeah, for listeners, I'll put the address to their website in the show notes. But there's a pretty impressive list of chefs that they are working with as well. Mm-hmm. And you can read all about them on their website. And I agree. I think cider is really exciting for pairing, especially for cheese, because I think cheese can be difficult to pair sometimes. And everybody defaults to red wine, which I don't think is always the best choice. Mm. So I've been playing around a lot with pairing cheese with cider and also pairing spicy food with cider, too. I think that sometimes when you get the fruitier ones.
And the fruit, yeah.
Yeah.
It's giving a little sweet taste, which is really good to pair with some cheese.
Yeah, exactly. And then also speaking of food, for the listeners as well, Taste Paris is happening this month. It's happening from the 17th to the 20th of May. If you don't know what it is, it's a huge food festival slash salon. There's lots of really big name chefs there. There's different stalls where you can taste some things or explore some different culinary products, both sort of kitchen gadgets and food and drink. And so from what I understand, Sassy will have a stand there. Is that right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Oh, good. So, well, I understand that you're still in the planning phases, so I won't spoil anything and let the listeners know exactly what's happening. But that's just so you know that if you want to stop by and visit them, they will be there this month at Taste. So there you go.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. So what do you think about what does the future hold for French cider?
So we cannot predict like the future, you know, but the fact that we are really answering to a real demand is promoting, is just giving us the idea that we will perform in the future and that cider will continue to grow. It's really fitting into the trend of being healthier, I would say, mm-hmm. even if it's alcohol. I know about that, but we should. We are just really well aware about the trend, and we just think that we will continue to be the most innovative brand as we are for the moment, and continue to be the best cider that we are already. That we are. So we just hope the best for the future, and there is a lot to come as well. So do not hesitate to follow us as well to be aware about the old things to come and the next products, maybe.
Right. Speaking of which, is there anything you can give us a little hint or a glimpse of that you might be working on in the future?
We already are working on a different collaboration to come. Like we are doing a limited edition each end of year. So they will be very soon a new collaboration, and we will be part of different events or really, we already are working on different projects and new products as well. So just follow us to be sure to not miss anything about us.
Very good. And for the listeners who would like to get out and try some Sassy, I assume that they can get it at any just regular shops here. Is it available like at Monoprix? Is it available more at boutique shops if they want to try it on their own?
We actually are mostly working with restaurants and cocktails bars,
okay.
So it's not so easy to find it, like not in all the supermarkets, but we are working with big flagships, mm-hmm. like Galerie Lafayette or Maison Plisson and different cavistes like Cellars that you can find us.
Okay. And do you have any favorite cocktail bar where you might recommend listeners go to try a cocktail with sassy in it?
Yeah, definitely. I got a lot, actually. Okay. But I would recommend all the Pigalle bars like the Dirty Dick or the Plaza Athénée, which is really one of the best.
Oh, yeah. That's if you want a really nice, fancy cocktail, the Plaza Athénée. That's going to be a nice one. Well, I think that we'll wrap up with that. And I really appreciate you coming down. Thanks very much. Is there anything else before we close up that you feel like you want to let the listeners know about?
No, I think you got anything. If you got any question, everyone can just ask a question on our website, maisonsassy.com, and find the address to send us an email. Do not hesitate.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
And with that, that's a wrap for this month's episode. But if you are looking for more cocktail talk between shows, head to our site, www.52martinis.com. And if you'd like to carry me around in your pocket, download our iOS app, which is a guide to the Paris cocktail bars. As always, thank you to today's guests from Sassy. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in and downloading. Additional thanks goes to World Radio Paris for editing and production, Emily Dilling of Perry Paysand for show notes and web assistance, Sun Little for the music that we use on the show. And we will, as usual, put links to all those things in the show notes so you can read more about them should you wish. And as always, drink responsibly. And before I go, I just want to take again a little second to read a favorite iTunes review from the week. This one comes from Swiss Kate, and she says, "A great podcast from an American connoisseur based in Paris. Interesting topics and lively chat. And you definitely don't need to be Paris-based to enjoy it, but it will make you organize a visit soon to try out the cocktail bars that are mentioned." So thanks for that lovely review, Swiss Kate. Hopefully you will head up to Paris and visit some cocktail bars soon. Anyway, we really appreciate getting the reviews. Makes me feel a little bit more like I'm not shouting into a void. So if you have a moment and you do enjoy the show, please hop over to iTunes and leave me a little review. We'd very much appreciate it. And until next time, cheers.